Ladies and gentlemen, this is the 12th and final round.
Right hand, Golovkin steps in and down he goes again. Unbelievable!
Mayweather makes a pay. What a rookie mistake.
A sensational left hook by De La Hoya.
It's fact, I'm the best, you know what I mean? Sometimes I don't want to believe in myself, but it's the truth. I'm the best.
I'm going to show you how great I am.
From Southern California, this is the Last Round Podcast.
Welcome back to episode 191 of the Last Round Podcast. No guests this week, just us two talking about the fights, reviewing all the news, previewing fights. So let's jump right back into it. Fight reviews this past Saturday, the 27th of August, from the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Tulsa, Oklahoma, on the Plus, ESPN Plus. Jose Pedraza and Richard Comey fight to a split draw by scores of 97-93, 95-95, and 94-96. Mike, did you expect this? Who did we pick last week? Who when we talked about it? I forgot.
I think we said it was going to be a close one, like it was, to be honest with you. Different styles. And it was one of those ones where you, I think you just had to see what happened on the night in terms of, you know, what game plan each of them did, how they, you know, how they did with weight. Personally, I thought Pedraza nicked it. It seemed to me like, you know, Richard Comey started well, and then they had, you know, the headbutt, the gash appeared over Comey's eye, and it, you know, just kept kind of affecting his eyesight, because you could see that, you know, Pedraza was just, you know, kind of picking him off on that side of his body constantly after that, and kind of grew with confidence going in from there, because initially I thought that Pedraza started with the wrong game plan and kind of stood far too much in front of Comey, which is something that, you know, Comey really needs. He doesn't work too well with, like, you know, lateral movement, moving to the left, moving to the right, which is, you know, how, like, you know, Teofimo Lopez, how Lomachenko, you know, really beat him. And Pedraza was doing that early. He was standing in front of him and making it kind of easy. And then eventually, you know, that cut opened up in Pedraza's favor. And I thought, you know, he kind of won it down the home stretch. I thought a draw was okay, but I did think Pedraza probably, in my opinion, won it by like a round or two. And I think probably Top Rank.
I think they're upset because they probably wanted one of the winner of this fight to possibly be a Teofimo Lopez opponent or
Pedraza, because Pedraza, he's already right? Fought Comey. Yeah, so I think they're kind of be upset with the fact that Pedraza didn't win it. Because then it would have been like, okay, like, here's the next opponent for Teofimo Lopez. Because if Comey had won, you're kind of like, okay, like, those two have already fought. Okay, it's a different weight category, but we've already seen it. Whereas Pedraza, he's not been against Teofimo Lopez, and it would have been a perfect for him. In all outcomes, this is probably the worst. Because now they haven't, you're like, okay, like, which one did they put him in with? Or did they go to Arnold Barboza route? And obviously last week, we kind of touched on the fact that Teofimo Lopez was on video saying, hey, don't put me in there with Barboza. You know, I want a bigger name. So yeah, probably the worst outcome really for Top Rank.
Yeah. As soon as I saw that it was a draw, I immediately thought of, you know, the top rank brass over there in Las Vegas and, you know, their whole team, because I mean, it's boxing. It's the fight game. You know that sometimes, most of the time, there's tentative plans behind the scenes to position certain people to fight other people. And when you see a draw or the person that you wanted to win to move on to the next event loses, then it kind of spoils it. I always think about, even though it's not necessarily the same, but it's kind of in the same breath, the Victor Ortiz, Josecito Lopez fight, where they were both under Golden Boy at the time, and Golden Boy Promotions essentially wanted Victor Ortiz, expected Victor Ortiz to take that win and go on to fight Canelo and make an all, you know, big clash, because Victor Ortiz had a lot of hype going at that time and, you know, momentum. And look at what happened. Lopez broke his jaw and beat him and got the Canelo fight. You know, Lopez ended up losing. I think he got stopped by Canelo at 154 pounds, but think about it. You know, it's the fight game, you know, like, I know sometimes we see that, oh, you know, this fight might be fixed or something. And sometimes there's like intricate details when you're just like, how did that happen? But, you know, sometimes it might not be. And this probably is the same thing. I mean, why? What's the benefit of a draw here for Top Rank? You know, but are they still going to likely get Pedraza and put him in there against Lopez in the next couple months? What do you think? Like, are they going to look at this and say, ah, we don't, you know, it sucks, but we're just going to take Pedraza out and put him in with Lopez in the next couple months, regardless.
Yeah, I think so. I think Pedraza is not, you know, a heavy-handed fighter. So it's he's still got a decentish name. You know, you can still say, you know, what he's done in his career. Look at his resume and put him in there as a good opponent for Teofimo. Because Teofimo's still essentially coming back, you know, and he's still getting used to this new weight. And they probably want to throw him a few wins before they put him in there with somebody big. But I just don't know, is Pedraza a big enough name to fill the big room of like MSG, like we touched on last week? I don't know if he is.
Do you honestly think that that's what they're going for, is the big room at MSG? Are they really going for that, do you think?
If it was up to me, no. Not for a fight like that. You'd have to put him in there with a real name. And I think that would have to be...
The only ones that would fill that room, MSG, the big room, is like 20,000 seats.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. Ryan Garcia would definitely get close or maybe fill it. Like, Tank Davis. I mean, who else? Who else fills that room with him? Lomachenko, maybe?
I think Josh Taylor, maybe. Just because of all the Brits and the Irish and stuff like that that stay in the New York area.
Maybe, but I mean, there's, you know, it seems like Josh Taylor's involved in on that list of not being able to come to the United States, right? So that's probably out of the question right now. Who else is realistic? You can't throw anybody at him besides those names that could fill that room. You just can't.
No,
he has to go to that smaller room. What is it? Is it still the Hulu Theater, or did it change names again? But it's the pretty much the theater at MSG.
It's like the ballroom, isn't it? I mean,
yeah. But it used to be called the Hulu Theater, at Madison Square Garden, which was how many seats? What, maybe 7,000?
Yeah, it's a lot less. Yeah.
So I don't know. Unless it's in his contract somewhere. Because you know, I'm sure fighters when they reach a certain threshold or when they get to a certain level, then I'm sure they have the power and, you know, the negotiation power in a sense to put it in their agreements or their contracts with the promoters or maybe the networks and say, hey, from this point on, I'm only going to do 12 to 20,000 seat arenas. You know, on pay-per-view or on primetime or something like that. You know what I mean? So, like, I'm sure Davis, I feel like Davis might have that.
If Jake Paul can't fill it, fighting Hazeem Rahman.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's the real reason they got called off, right?
That was reportedly that there was low ticket sales, right? That was reported, you know, which maybe, I mean, obviously there was issues behind the scenes with the weight cut and all that other stuff and, you know, they had their whole little situation on there, but you don't think they took into account the ticket sales?
You know, we talk so much about, you know, Instagram and all that sort of stuff, and he's got 20.5 million followers.
Jake Paul?
Jake Paul.
Yeah. So
if Jake Paul can't fill it, what's the chances of Teofimo Lopez filling it against a lesser-known opponent?
Right. I mean, think about it realistically. The only people who could fill it, Right now alone, it doesn't matter who the opponent is Canelo.
Yeah.
Maybe Tank Davis. Maybe.
Tank, Joshua.
Yeah, AJ.
A handful, if that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Who else? Nobody else could do that.
Maybe Tyson Fury, but he didn't do well at the T-Mobile when I was there. But he's had those big fights against Wilder since then.
I mean, I know Top Rank is trying to get Lopez used to the 140-pound weight class, and you know, Pedraza is like their their rotation guy. Like, oh, let's throw Pedraza in there, you know. But I think Pedraza's just played out, man. Like, he's been rotated so much now between, you know, 130 and 140 now. You know, like, oh, he was an Olympic medalist. And, you know, yeah, he was. But it's like, how many times can you throw him out there against these up-and-coming guys or these other guys that you, you know, want them to win and be like, oh, he's got Pedraza on his resume. Like, does it still stick out to you? You know what I'm saying? Does it still work to have Pedraza as a name on your resume at this point?
Not to me and you.
Right.
The amount of boxing that we watch and the fact that we know, like, he keeps being trawled out, not to me and you, no. But to, like, your everyday fan, you know, you're like, oh, okay, this guy, you know, was, you know, like a respectable, you know, champion back in the day. Like,
when ESPN will list his accomplishments, like, oh, he was a medalist, and they're gonna be like, oh, so this guy, if he beats him, it's a good win. I get it. To the common fan, the, you know, once in a while, let me watch boxing fan. That's true. That's true. That's what they're looking for. Marketability and to, you know, but I mean, it is what it is. Obviously, Top Rank is probably the best in the sport at building a fighter and getting them to the, you know, to the additional levels that they have to get to. So, you know, who are we to question them, Mike? Who are we to question them? They should be questioning us.
No, it's going to be interesting. I'm hoping that, you know, Top Rank just have it in his contract that, you know, during this contract, he has to have, you know, one or two pay-per-views. Hopefully it's not written in his contract. It has to be next.
I mean, I still think, I don't know what, I still think that, and I know we talked about, did we talk about it with Al Dawson or who did we, it might've been Al Dawson, but I still think that the Ryan Garcia Teofimo Lopez fight is more likely than we think. Maybe not crazy likely, like 95%, but I think even though they're different promoters, De La Hoya and Bob Arum are cordial with each other, and they do make fights across the aisle like that with each other. And De La Hoya is moving to Vegas. You know, he's already said that in multiple interviews. He's having his house built. He should be moving over there in the next several months, maybe next year. You know, having Bob Arum over for like dinner or something like a year or so ago. Remember that picture with him, Eric Gomez, and Bob Arum? And then obviously Joette Gonzalez and making all these fights, Joshua Franco. I honestly think, and then De La Hoya, you know, he was at the Teofimo Lopez fight, wasn't he?
I think so. Yeah.
And
Oscar
then,
was.
Yeah. And he tweeted, he's like, oh, now I'm on my way to Teofimo's fight in Las Vegas. Cause he was trying to get the Ryan fight. He was trying to get Ryan Garcia a fight at 140 against Teofimo Lopez. I think that fight is a lot more likely than Tank Davis, you know? I don't understand why, because I think Teofimo Lopez beats Ryan. I think he beats Ryan. And I think Top Rank and ESPN, I don't know, maybe they want time to build it, marketability. But if I was them, you know, it's like, man, like, obviously Ryan's gotten better. We could see it. But I still think Lopez beats him at 140, especially. I still think Lopez beats him. And I think it's not like a 51-49 fight. I think it's like probably a 75-25 fight in terms of 75% Lopez takes the win. I mean, what do you think? And then he gets the rub off of the Ryan Garcia win. Why not, you know? And I think it's also a way for the promoters like Top Rank or especially De La Hoya to kind of stick it to Davis and Mayweather and PBC. And he's like, I don't want your guy to get the rub off of my guy. I'd rather give it to Top Rank. You know what I mean? Like, I think they're looking at it that way.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like it. I mean, I'd love to see, you know, that fight. All of those young guys, you know. Davis, you know, Teofimo Lopez, Ryan Garcia, even throwing Rolly. Rolly could probably go up to 140. All of those guys should really just, you know, get in there and forget about their zeros and just, you know, start throwing down and earn themselves some big paychecks between them all. Win, lose, or draw, you know, it's the good fights and they're probably all going to be big paychecks for them. So, you know, hopefully at some point we see that. But it's not always them. Sometimes it's just their promoters, right? They want to wrap him in cotton.
Oh, yeah. We could. How many times have we talked about that?
You know, bleed them dry as much as they can.
But I'm telling you, I think, yeah, it's still likely that Pedraza Teofimo will happen by the end of the year. I can see Top Rank. I don't think Pedraza was injured, so I can still see that. Them making that fight maybe December, right?
I think him and his dad said November, right? Next, they wanted to
that's
be
a,
back
that's
out.
A pretty
in
quick turnaround for Pedraza.
Are we in August? So pretty much September, October, November.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty quick turnaround. I think it's either going to be December or January. I don't think it'll be November. I'd be surprised if it's November. It could be, but I think it's December or January. Or maybe they push it to maybe they push it to next spring. Who knows?
See, if it's December or January, you'd think it's not going to be pay per view, right? You know, like with how the economy's going and Christmas and stuff like that coming.
No, it's not. It's not going to be pay per view. Not at all. Support for the Last Round podcast is brought to you by Manscaped.com. That's right, Manscaped, who we just struck a partnership with. They are the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Their products are precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped's performance package, the ultimate men's hygiene bundle. Join over 6 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for our listeners, the listeners of the Last Round. 20% off and free. That's right, free. Worldwide, that's the entire world, worldwide shipping with the code TLRBoxing. That's again, TLRBoxing at manscaped.com. And if my math is correct, I think I've mentioned this before, that's about 12 million balls. TLRBoxing at manscaped.com. They got a lot of stuff. Like I said, we've had a partnership with them for the last couple of weeks. They send us some free stuff, and we've been trying it. Their performance package 4.0. is awesome. Inside that package, you'll find their lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, the weed whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, crop preserver, ball deodorant. You might think you might not need that. We were talking about it before that you might not need that, but once you use it, you're going to be like, oh man, how did I live without this? There's also the crop reviver toner, the performance boxer briefs. They even got clothes. I think I mentioned that last week. They got shirts, clothes, all that stuff. Their fourth generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents. Thanks to their advanced skin safe technology, the Lawnmower 4.0 is also waterproof and has a 4,000 kilobit LED spotlight. So you can have in need for a more precise shave. So you don't cut yourself. You can see exactly what you have. So once again, get 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code TLRBoxing at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com with the code TLRBoxing. Mike, so far so good, right, on their stuff?
Yeah, so far so good. Good quality stuff. And then obviously, you know, when you're in at home shaving your balls in the dark like a savage, you've got that light on the trimmer so you can see where you're going.
Exactly. And we're not like really like big beard guys, at least on our faces, the facial area. Like it's really kind of difficult for me. I don't know if it is for you, but to grow like a huge beard, like on my cheeks, on my face and all that stuff. It's more on my chin and all that stuff. But there's a lot of guys out there, who have the big, you know, forest beards who would love this stuff, right? I mean, I don't think you can grow a big beard like that, right?
I can't because of my job. But
that's true.
I've never grown a full grown beard, you know, like a big.
But you should try it. You should give it a shot and start using all the other stuff that you can use at manscaped.com for your facial beard. So for once again, TLR Boxing for 20% off at manscaped.com. Please help us out using that code at manscaped.com, getting some great and excellent products that you'll absolutely love. It also helps us out with the show here. It supports the show. It keeps this show going. It helps us travel to these live events, these fights, these press conferences, all these fights and events all over the country. And it helps us get more exclusive content for you and expands the reach of this show. Once again, TLR Boxing for 20% off at manscaped.com. And now, back to the show. Also on the card, Jarrett Anderson gets the second round KO over. All right, help me out here. What am I? Miljan Rovkanen.
Yeah.
Did I say that right? I don't
close
think
enough,
I did.
Close enough, right?
I guess. Second round KO, Jarrett Anderson. Obviously, Jarrett Anderson, they're building him. What do you think about him? Where's he going to go?
He looks legit, doesn't he? Someone of his size, to move the way he does. All the people that have been sparring him, like Tyson Fury and all those guys, you know, say, you know, how he's the next big thing coming through. Yeah, and so far he's doing exactly what he should be doing with some of these, you know, like lesser known opponents. He probably just needs like a bit of a test now to really get him some rounds, to get him some actual time in the ring, because he's just that good so far. He's just steamrolling through people.
Yeah, it's working. But eventually, you know, you always hit, I don't want to say a wall, but you're always going to hit, you're going to find somebody who's like, oh, okay, this guy's the real deal. You know, so that's when you really get tested and then you level up. So, but as of right now, so far, so good. I'm sure Top Rank is pleased with his development so far, and they're going to see what happens. Also on the card, Efe Ajagba, 16-1, gets the second round TKO, and also a second round stoppage here over Joseph Darmos, who takes the fifth loss of his career. He's now 14-5-3. I think this was just to keep Ajagba pretty busy, right? Like a stay busy fight, just to kind of keep him going. I mean, who are they getting him ready for? Jarrett Anderson?
I think they're trying to rebuild him, aren't they, after his loss? That opponent was probably found outside.
He was absolutely he took that loss when he was under PBC.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then now Top Rank picked him up.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of those ones where you look at it and like he's very limited. He's just kind of like really relies like on his size and his power. Technique wise, he's not that great or anything like that. His loss was to Frank Sanchez. He lost unanimous decision.
Right, Canelo. Well, Frank Sanchez isn't even with the Canelo camp anymore. He's up in LA with Joe Goosen, right?
Yeah. But yeah, this opponent really, I mean, it gets it back in the win column, but the opponent was pretty atrocious, to be honest with you. So it's kind of like
it's just to get him exposure and get him back in the win column. I mean, you know how it works. That's what they're trying to do and trying to build him. And then what? Get him, because Jarrett Anderson's a heavyweight, right?
Yeah, all of these guys were coming up, we're talking about Jarrett Anderson's a heavyweight, Ajagba's a heavyweight, Richard Torres is a heavyweight, Jeremiah Milton's a heavyweight.
Yeah, it was a heavyweight card.
So, you know, you'd hope, you know, sooner rather than later, you would get to see all of them, you know, in the mix against each other, which would be perfect, because, you know, as boxing fans, we all love to see the heavyweights throw down.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then you mentioned the other heavyweight fights. Richard Torres improves to 3-0 with the first round KO over Marco Antonio Canedo. And then Jeremiah Milton improves to 6-0 with a second round KO over Nick Jones, who takes the fifth loss of his career. He is now 9-5. All early nights for these heavyweight matchups, pretty much. You know, like you mentioned, all heavyweight matchups, Milton, Torres, Ajagba. Do you think it's possible that Torres Jr. and Milton fight a lot sooner than later? I mean, Milton 6-0, Torres is 3-0. I could see them fighting maybe next year.
Good question. When you do it, because Torres has that like Olympic background, amateur background. Trying to see, I suppose it depends, you know, how big they come, how much of a following they create. Because if, you know, if they get to the point where they're, you know, like a mini Conor McGregor, you know, someone like that, then they kind of like, they protect them, don't they? Because, you know, they're going to be, you know, a good cash cow from them. If it was Golden Boy, yeah, they'd throw them in there against each other. Top Rank are a little bit better at kind of like protecting and feeding them, you know, from...
A little bit slower development.
Slower development, and it always seems that like they stay with Top Rank until they get to the, you know, to the big books. And then that tends to be when a lot of people kind of part ways from Top Rank, because...
That's crazy, huh? That's crazy. Floyd, Mayweather,
Mikey Garcia,
Pacquiao to an extent.
I'm assuming the top rank obviously just want a good slice of that pie, and they don't get that at top rank. They're very good at creating them and leading them to the water, and then, you know, when they start to drink that water, top rank tend to, you know, be let go and they go somewhere else. I'm sure Bob's still kind of like got the old school shrewd, like, hey, I'm taking a big slice of that pie. And
yeah, he's a businessman, you know. Yeah. They're a corporation, or they're incorporated. That's why they're called Top Rank Inc.
Yeah,
you know, I don't think like Golden Boy or PBC are incorporated like that. There's a difference at least in the United States. But yeah, you're right. You're right. When they get to that level, that financial negotiation power, if Top Rank can't make a deal with them, they're just like, okay, well, you're gonna sit this one out then, or your contract ends and you're out of here. You know, we can't pay you. What was the one? It was Spence Crawford. You know, how many times was Bob Arum saying, especially towards the end of the agreement with Crawford, saying he's like, the money's not there. You know, he would say I'm losing money on Terrence Crawford. He's like, why would I? And I was like, man, you really don't care anymore, do you?
Do you remember when he said he could have bought a nice house in LA?
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure he has a nice house in LA regardless. But no, yeah, he doesn't care, man. He's been around since what, the 60s or something, the 50s.
Yeah,
so he's gonna keep it going. Moving on, fight previews. This upcoming Saturday, the 3rd of September. I can't believe we're already in September. Crazy. From the Echo Arena in Liverpool, the Smith brother returns out of the Smiths. Not the band, but the boxing clan over there. Liam Smith, 31-3-1, goes up against Hassan Macquinho.
Macquinho,
he's 20-2. That's all we need to know. He's 20-2. Hey, Liam Smith. You know, I gotta give him credit. He's still, you know, finding ways to. I think after the Jaime Munguia fight, even though he lost, but he gave him a really hard fight, and I think some people even said that he probably should have won. I think that kind of gave him a new spark in terms of his career. Because, you know, he got knocked out by Canelo at 154 pounds a couple years back. And you would think, oh, okay, might slow down a little bit for you. But he's still finding pretty decent matchups and headlining these cards, right? I mean, what do you think?
No, he's done really, really well for himself to, you know, kind of still be in and around where he is. Because, you know, I kind of always judge it off, you know, what people say at work. And I remember when he fought Munguia, like you said, a lot of people at my workplace were coming up to me and saying, dude, that guy's good. They were like, he's game. Like, he came to win. Like, he really pushed Munguia, you know, really, really far in that fight.
That's why Golden Boy didn't want the rematch, because they were like, oh, no, he fought him too well. We can't put him in there again.
Yeah, exactly. And obviously, it wasn't that long ago that he fought, was it Magomed Kurbanov? And he went over to Russia fighting a guy that at that time, I think he was 21-0 unbeaten, got robbed, you know, close. But I think that, you know, Liam Smith probably should have won that fight. He got robbed and, you know, he would have been, you know, up there fighting for a belt again. Since then, though, he's fought Anthony Fowler, beat him, Jesse Vargas, you know, beat him. And then now he's coming.
Oh, yeah, Jesse Vargas fight. I forgot about that one. That was actually an entertaining fight, too.
Yeah, 10th round TKO. Anthony Fowler, 8th round TKO. So he's on, you know, 34 years old. He's probably looking at it like, you know what, like everything that I've got left is going into this run, you know, like no going out there, you know, celebrating, drinking, the usual stuff that the Brits do. Like, you know what, like knuckle down. This is my last run at it. And if he picks the right fights, I could see him getting back in there. Problem is the top of this division, Dan. Like,
yeah,
Talo, Fundora, Castaño. Unfortunately, not only are they great fighters, they're also with the PBC.
Yeah, exactly. And Liam Smith, like, you know, is the PBC going to really want to do business with him? And because he was associated with Matchroom for so long, he was associated with MTK.
Yeah.
You know, that's stuff you have to think about, because that's stuff that they think about, you know.
And when
I know Kinahan's technically out of the picture, supposedly, you know, whatever's happening with the whole sanctions and all that stuff, but people still think he's in the shadows. We talked about the Marv Nation, yeah, winning the bid for Zepeda and Progre for $2.4 million. I mean, there's no legitimate credibility behind it right now. I think it's just people talking on boxing forums and Twitter and stuff like that, saying, hey, we knew who that was because we're in Southern California and they put on shows here. But there's a lot of people outside this region that didn't know. That was the first time they heard of them. But their local promoter in this area who put on shows in the LA area. But so I wasn't surprised. I was surprised to see their name, because we look at them as a small promoter down here. And they bid $2.4 million for about between Jose Zepeda and Regis Progre. It wasn't like you're bidding like against Lomachenko and Teofimo Lopez or something like that, you know?
Double the nearest bidder.
Yeah, it was double the top rank one, which was 1.2. So that was interesting. I mean, like I said, we're not saying there's credibility behind it, but there was people kind of whispering, saying, hey, where did this money come from? You know, is ProBellum behind them? You know, ProGrade was so, I mean, we don't have any actual proof behind that. I was just saying, I'm just repeating what I was reading, and it kind of makes you think, but, you know, I don't really know the financial background of the Marv Nation people and the owner and all that. But I mean, obviously you can't put on boxing shows, especially consistently like that. And especially in LA or in California, without having some type of capital to be able to support it, right?
Originally, from what I used to know from going to those events, is the owner, both his sons fought on it. And it was kind of like his promotion to promote his son, because his son would be fighting on the events. And, you know, they'd have like a camera crew following him around and, you know, taking photos and stuff like that. And it was, you know, very kind of like home-sided. So for them to suddenly go from like doing stuff like that to staging like a $2.5 million WBC world title fight is.
And they don't have they don't have a TV partner.
No, exactly.
But where are they going to put it on? You know, are they going to try to sell it to a broadcaster? That's also a very interesting notion behind it. It's like, okay, you bid $2.4 million for this. Okay, that's already a lot of money, regardless. And now, are they just going to put it on in the LA area somewhere and stream it on YouTube?
Pico Rivera?
Well, yeah, for our listeners who aren't in the Southern California, LA area, there's a city called Pico Rivera where there's like an outdoor sports arena. Mm-hmm. And that Marv Nation Promotions, if that's what you want to call it, they've had quite a few shows in that area. We were just talking about it before we started recording here, that the last time, or one of the last times they were there, there was like a riot or like fights, right?
Yeah, the fighter was getting some abuse from the crowd, and the fighter decided to get out the ring and chase the guy and run into the stands.
Yeah, he chased like a fan, right?
Yeah, and then there was a lot of fights there. And the first few events they did at Pico Rivera, there was a lot of fights like that one, and then there was fights in the crowd just from drunk fans. And then slowly but surely they did kind of get that act together.
Right.
There was one literally last weekend, which as far as I know, went off okay. There's nothing wrong with it. And
no, yeah, it seems like they kind of ironed out the issues there. But yeah, it's just interesting. It's just like, okay, well, where are you going to stream it? Is ESPN and Top Rank going to come in and say, hey, we'd still like to stream this, or we'd still like to put this on, so we want to be the broadcaster, and, you know, because Zepeda's our guy. I mean, do you think that's possible?
You could do it. Like you said, it could be like the Joshua fight where they buy it and then they just sell the rights to the highest bidder.
Or what? Or you think Eddie Hearn and DAZN jump in and say, well, we're not paying their purses. They bid 2.4. We just have to put it on and hopefully get subscribers out of it.
You can see someone random like Triller.
Probably you're right. Maybe Triller jumps in. They're like, oh, well, we'll jump in. We're not paying the fighters, but we'll stream it.
Progre fought on that card.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's true. I think it's, I don't know. Who's the likely one, DAZN or Triller or ESPN? Who would you put your money on? ESPN Plus.
Triller.
Yeah. You know, you forget about Triller, huh? They were making so much noise at the beginning, especially when they bid for the Teofimo fight. And, yeah, just kind of, they're still there, but, you know, they're trying to, they're looking at the sport from a different perspective, you know, trying to combine entertainment and rap battles and music with it. But
bare knuckle, they bought a percentage of BKFC.
That's right. Yeah. So they're still kind of there in some form or fashion. You never, yeah, it's true. I think that's a good point. Maybe Triller pops in. He's like, hey, we'll stream it. Like, oh, okay. I could see that. Yeah, I could see that. Progre fighting there has some type of connection there. Maybe that's why Marv Nation bid on it. Maybe they already had the. Maybe they already talked to somebody and said, hey, we're not going to bid on this unless we have a broadcast partner. Maybe Triller was like, oh, we'll give you half, or we'll give you the money to put up and we'll put it on ours. Maybe. You're right. That's a good point. That's a good point. Who knows? But obviously, we're just speculating here. We do not know. But also on this card from Liverpool, Dan Aziz, 16-0, undefeated, goes up against Shakan Peters, 17-1. This is for the British light heavyweight title. What do you think about this matchup?
Good fight. Good fight. And I've been writing the notes. I've been trying to pick a winner for this. It's a hard one.
You got to be leaning towards one of them. Give me something.
I think maybe just Dan Aziz, maybe a little bit more polished, a little bit more, you know, powerful, thicker guy. I think he may just, you know, be able to come in there and just kind of like overpower Shakan. Great fight, though. Probably the best fight on the card, in my opinion.
Especially by those records.
Yeah, you know, just and then sometimes you get some great fights at British level. You know, sometimes you'll watch one and then like one guy's, you know, on his way to being world class and the other guy's more of like a northern level and, you know, he demolishes him. But these two are both really good fighters and probably, you know, the fight of the night up in Liverpool. So definitely watch this one if you're going to.
Is this being broadcasted somewhere?
It's a Boxer card, so I'm not too sure.
Oh, Boxer. Okay.
Yeah, it's going to be on Sky Sports in the UK, but I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be on anywhere over here. So anybody that has, you know, some illegal streams, you know, you may be able to find it, but I don't.
Yeah.
It's not on like ESPN.
I'm sure boxing fans know where the illegal streams are.
It's, you know, if it was a Frank Warren event, a lot of those obviously end up on ESPN for us in the US.
Yeah. ESPN Plus or something like that. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That is true. Rounding off the card, Natasha Jonas, 11-2-1, goes up against Patricia Bergolt, 15-0. This is for the WBC and WBO super welterweight titles. What do you think about this matchup?
It's going to go 12 rounds or 10 rounds, whatever they decide to set it at. Good fight to Natasha Jonas, you know, local fighter from the Liverpool area. You know, obviously stepped up in weight to capture a super welterweight title. This is her trying to unify, you know, WBC and WBO. And I hope she does it in front of a home crowd. Please, let's get like a knockout or a TKO or something like that, because I think people are kind of getting sick of just the fact that like every single woman's fight just goes 12 rounds unless it's...
Speaking of female fights, when is Marshall Shields again?
Oh, it's either the 10th or the 17th. It's coming up.
September, right?
Yeah, September. It's either the 10th or the 17th.
We're a couple weeks out.
Mm.
I think it might be the 10th. I don't think they would go the 17th. That's the weekend of Canelo.
Correct. It's the 10th then, yeah.
So we're less than 2 weeks out.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one. Can't wait to. We'll have to get somebody on and debate about. I mean, I'm still going for Savannah.
Still going?
It's not changing. Yeah,
we gotta make a bet here because I still think Shields is gonna beat her. But you're saying Marshall, and you're saying she probably knocks her out.
I think she'll stop her. Yeah.
Oh wow. All right. I still think Shields is, you know, she's. In the pros, it's different. It's different. I think Shields is better, but I mean, it's not like Marshall hasn't been winning either, and she's been knocking her opponents out. So I get what you're saying, but
she's got more of a pro.
We're
style.
On different sides of the fence here.
She has more of a Kalusha has a better amateur style. That's why she was so good at amateur. Whereas Savannah's powerful, and she has a better pro style. And, you know, the opponents that they have together, that, you know, the opponents that they both fought, that Clarissa's gone 12 rounds of them or 10 rounds of them, and Savannah's stopped them.
That's a good point, but not good enough. I'm still going with Shields. Also, this upcoming Sunday, the 4th of September, from the Crypto.com Arena, formerly the Staples Center. We're getting used to it, I guess, in downtown Los Angeles on Fox pay-per-view. Fox pay-per-view. Fox comes back every so often, but it's always a pay-per-view. I'm pretty sure they already told PBC, hey, don't bring us anything unless it's pay-per-view. We're not going to put on this fight. We need to make our money back. Andy Ruiz, 34-2, the former heavyweight champion, goes up against Luis Ortiz, 33-2. I think this is a pretty good matchup for where they're at in their careers. You know, we always talk about Luis Ortiz's his age, that nobody knows how old he is. Everybody thinks he's in his 40s. We share something that Rick Glaser said.
I'm just trying to find it. It's funny you said that. It's funny you
yeah,
said that.
Yeah, we shared something that Rick Glaser, when he was talking about this fight, Glaser said that he was about 53 years old. Am I correct?
Yeah, I'll read it to you now. Rick Glaser said, the then Canadian Olympic coach told me and the team Bulgaria coach verified it, that they would go over to Cuba to train in the wintertime, and the heavyweights and super heavyweights that sparred with Ortiz were all about the same age, and they're now around 50. Glaser claims that Luis Ortiz is actually 53.
Do you think that's true? Do you really think that's true?
He looks older, but it's hard to say because, I don't know, they have got like a history of doing that, haven't they, from some of those, like, you know, Cuba.
Oh, yeah, the Cubans, yeah. It happens a lot. And it doesn't just happen in boxing. It happens in sports.
Yeah, there was like a
spate of baseball. It happens in baseball a lot, too.
And soccer as well. There was a couple of guys that did that, I think, in Germany as well. They came from, like, Africa. And they, you know, took not 10 years, but they took, like, a few years different. Whereas 10 years is quite remarkable. But, I mean, he does look older and he looks kind of slow and stuff. But, you know, it's hard to tell. And you got to feel for him, like, especially if it's not true. Like, the poor guy's been getting told for so long that he's a lot older than he is. But, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I suppose we'll never know, will we? We just have to judge him on, you know, the fact that he's supposedly 43 and he's had a good career. Look, his only two losses are to, you know, Deontay Wilder.
Yeah, exactly. You know, he's lost to one of the best heavyweights in the world, regardless. And in both fights, he was pretty competitive. So, yeah, if that's legitimate, that's insane. But see, we always talk about, like, oh, okay, well, he's older. Is this the fight that really shows his age? You know, I don't know. Cause I feel like we get to that point, the last several fights for Luis Ortiz, especially. Because, you know, there's like that running joke, like we talked about his age. And then he comes out, you know, besides the Wilder fight, and he wins. You know, he knocks his opponent out. I honestly think, maybe I'm wrong here. I'm going on a limb, says he beats Ruiz. I'm going on a limb. If Areola can knock down Ruiz and give him a pretty competitive fight, Chris Areola, even though he's like younger and he's still got a lot of energy left. With the experience that Ortiz has had in bigger heavyweight fights, especially the two Wilder fights, like I said, assuming it's not the age, I think Ortiz beats him. What do you think?
It's kind of funny you say that because I was thinking the same thing. Like Ruiz losing all of this weight, he hasn't looked good. And I go to Trish Dixon did a podcast with Shane McGuigan, and in that podcast he touched on when he was coaching David Haye, he would always tell Haye, you know, you need to come in at around this weight or higher because your chin's a lot better. And when he came in to fight Bellew the second time, I would imagine he tried to get some weight off because of his dodgy ankle. He came in under that weight and was stopped by Bellew. And that kind of seems to be the thing with Ruiz. Like when he got dropped by Areola, he came in like, you know, significantly lighter. And I do wonder whether that's just one of those things because he's been walking around such a bigger guy for a long, long time that when he takes that weight off, he comes a little bit vulnerable. You know, he's not got like such a full tank and that affects his chin. And like you touched on, just going off the last performances, Ruiz didn't look good against Areola. Ortiz didn't look amazing against, you know, Prince Charles Martin. I know probably people are shouting at the podcast now saying
shouting like, on you right now.
Yeah, you know, but Ruiz turned it around and stopped him. You know, he did start off kind of slowly, and you could see that Father Time's catching up with him. But he always manages to kind of like old man himself through a fight. He's got that much experience in the pros and the amateurs that he always finds a way, apart from Wilder, who managed to stop him. But he always manages to find a way. And yeah, especially with the money, because I think Ruiz is somewhat like a 2-to-1 favorite, where Ortiz, I believe, is like 2.5-to-1 underdog. So you get obviously like, you know, 2.5 times your money. So if I was placing money on it, I would probably go with Ortiz.
Are they both about the same height? I think Ortiz is taller. I think he's
Ortiz is taller. He's taller, bigger reach. You know, Ruiz has the faster hands.
Yeah. I mean, either way, it's an intriguing matchup, and I think it's a good matchup to put them both against each other. I really do. I like the matchup. But I think
it could be a relatively boring fight because Ortiz is, like I touched on, he doesn't mind kind of like stinking out a fight and just winning. He has that Cuban, like, I don't care, I just want to win. I don't care, you know, that sort of style that you've seen with like Lara and, you know, some of the other guys that have come over from there.
I mean, that's possible because Ruiz isn't really, he's not a Wilder, where Wilder looks to knock you out. Wilder's not a technical boxer. So the reason why both of those fights ended in knockouts and stoppages was because of Wilder as the opponent. Wilder is a stoppage guy. He's a knockout guy. Whereas Ruiz is more of, he has knockout power, obviously, but he can box if he wants to. And they're going to box around each other for a while, probably. And I think you're right. I think it might, I don't know. I mean, it is heavyweight boxing. It is heavyweight boxing. You know, should we really disregard the knockout here?
I'm just thinking that if I was Ortiz, I would just use my height, my size, and my reach, and just pepper him, just keep him off with the jab. It's going to be boring for the fans, but, you know, just kind of like beat him down with, you know, a stiff jab, like every time he comes in, because, you know, he's the shorter fighter in terms of height and in terms of reach. And, you know, why give him the option of getting in? You know, why give him the option? Don't fight him up close. Keep him on the jab, bump, bump, keep him off. And then, you know, whenever he does, you know, manage to get in close, tie him up, make it boring. Essentially, a Klitschko style victory.
Yeah. Yeah. Either way, this is a pretty interesting matchup. So on pay-per-view, I saw reportedly that it's going to be like $75. I think putting it on Sunday does help a little bit, but, you know, obviously they both reached that financial purse threshold where PBC, Al Heyman have to pay them a certain guarantee, and they obviously probably can't pay them without putting them on pay-per-view to at least try to recoup that money back. So that's usually why it's like that, but we will see. Also in the card, in the co-main event, Isaac Cruz, 23-2-1, goes up against Eduardo Ramirez for the WBC silver lightweight title. Obviously, Cruz went solid 12 rounds with Gervonta Davis, and to some people, probably should have deserved the win. You know, that's where he really made his mark because he replaced Rolly Romero. That was also at the Crypto.com arena, but it was a Staples Center at the time. So I think they're getting Cruz ready maybe for another matchup against Davis, like a rematch. I really do think that. I think they're going to build them up. And, you know, Mexican clash, maybe in LA again, maybe in Texas or something. I don't know. Maybe it could be in Atlanta. I don't know. Davis obviously sells very, very well in Atlanta. But it could be in Brooklyn. Who knows? Who knows? But I honestly think, you know, if the Ryan fight and stuff like that can happen, you know, nobody wants to cross the street in boxing. PBC, Mayweather Promotions, is going to look at Cruz again to rematch with Gervonta Davis. You know, like, oh, if there's a first fight, Cruz, they can sell that Cruz really did well. Some people thought he won. Put the rematch, put it on pay-per-view, try to get some money out of it. So we will see. And then Jose Valenzuela, 12-0, goes up against Jezreel Corrales, 26-4, for the WBC Continental Americans lightweight title. And then Abner Mares. When's the last time we've said that name? Abner Mares returns 31-3-1 against Miguel Flores, 25-4. Look, Abner Mares has been out of the ring for how many years? How many years are we talking here?
I'll check now.
He's been out a long time.
June 9th, 2018. A unanimous decision loss to Leo Santa Cruz.
So over 4 years. He's been out of the ring over 4 years, and a big reason behind why he retired from boxing, I guess, if you want to call it that, which he pretty much did, was because he was having eye issues. I think he even said in interviews there was reports that he didn't want to keep fighting because the more he would get punched, like, he didn't want to lose his eyesight and stuff like that. But he's back. I don't know what happened. Obviously, he went to medical professionals. He was probably seen, and you know, he probably, I just hope that he didn't go to like different doctors until one of them told him what he wanted to hear. You know, some athletes sometimes are like that. Because if he had eye issues like that he said he's had before, he was even since he was a young kid. I mean, do you think it's a money thing? Do you think they're trying to lure him back because they need an opponent for Tank Davis?
Sadly, I think a lot of people come back for the money, right? You know, he does live quite a flashy lifestyle, Abner Mares. And, you know, when you don't have a paycheck coming in, you know, he did do the stuff for PBC, you know, and he was
on Showtime broadcast, stuff like that.
Yeah, you know, he was pretty good at that. But, you know, when you've not got those big checks coming in, I think you maybe soon realize, like, oh, man, like, I need to get back in the ring and, you know, maybe get, like, one or two more. And they haven't given him a gimme opponent either, you know, like, he's in there with
Flores is pretty solid.
Yeah, Flores has been in there with Eduardo Ramirez, Leo Santa Cruz, Chris Avalos, just to name a few that all on PBC cards.
Or maybe they're trying to prep Mares for Cruz.
I don't know, dude. It's just, you gotta hope that it's not one of those ones where you know he lives to regret it, like he gets in there and you know ends up like Kell Brook, just getting his eye, you know.
Yeah, that'd be horrible, man. That'd be horrible. But you know, at the end of the day, he is an adult. You know, who can you really blame here? Because it's not like he's a child that you're, you know, forcing to do something or to do this or do that. He's an adult, and at the end of the day, he had the final say. So hopefully there's no unfortunate outcome. But yeah, it's very interesting to see him back, especially with the eye situation that he said he had. And you know, we'll see. But like you said, maybe it's a money thing. Maybe the gigs on Showtime, the Showtime broadcast, and all that stuff weren't paying as well as people thought. Who knows?
Looks like he's in there with Manny Robles' camp as well.
Well, that's not surprising. Well, he is from LA. Abner Mares is an LA kid, so that's not surprising at all. Also on the card, rounding off the card, actually, Prince Charles Martin, who we talked about. Lost to Luis Ortiz, 28-3-1, goes up against Devin Vargas, 22-7. I mean, do you think it's possible that Charles Martin fights the winner again? You know, or maybe if Ortiz loses, maybe they rematch Ortiz and Martin, or if Ruiz wins, they put him up against Martin.
I think you're forgetting. It's not Deontay Wilder's not too far around the corner. Could you see Prince Charles Martin in there with Deontay Wilder? You know, he's still
because they're trying to build up Wilder again and get his confidence back. And yeah, you know, he's obviously they just recently had this week they had his press conference against Robert Hellenius, which was strange because I think they had it in New York, but Wilder and Hellenius were both there virtually, so everybody else was there in person. They had a whole setup, but Wilder and Hellenius were there via like TV. it's like, oh, okay, well, maybe they obviously didn't feel it was important enough to be there in person. I don't know. Maybe they didn't want to disrupt their training. Who knows? But yeah, Charles Martin, I think it's a good point. Maybe they're setting him up for Wilder, and I guess we'll wait and see. News and notes section of this week's episode of The Last Round. Josh Taylor recently vacated his IBF junior welterweight title. The third 140-pound belt, he has relinquished since his controversial decision victory over Jack Catterall in February of this year. Taylor, who is 19-0 with 13 KOs, still holds the WBO title after also giving up his WBA and WBC belts. I guess he's just dropping them, you know, maybe because he wants to move up to 147, doesn't he?
It looks like, you know, they've all been pushing their mandatories and
he doesn't want it.
Yeah, he's like, you know, I'm probably going to rematch. Sounds like he's gonna rematch Jack Catterall November 26th.
At 140, though? You think he's still doing at 140?
I don't know. I mean, I watched that documentary that the BBC did on him. I found it on YouTube somewhere. You know, in that, it kind of showed you, you know, him trying to make weight. He burnt himself down and, you know, he was struggling through camp, you know, a lot of the time.
Do you think that he's talked to Jack Catterall's camp and his team and said, hey, look, I'll give you a rematch. He's like, but we have to fight a catch weight of like 143 or something because my body can't make 140 anymore, but I want to give you the rematch, but I'm only going to do it if you want to fight because I have to relinquish these titles.
Yeah. It's looking like, you know, it could be a catch weight from watching that documentary.
I think it is. Like, I think it's going to be a catch weight.
Looks like he struggled, but they need to get back in there, you know, both of them at the same time, really, because the longer they leave it, I think the longer it, you know, goes to the back of our mind, and then they're going to make it, and we're all going to be like, meh, it happened like a year ago. You should have done this, like, straight after the fight. We don't care about that now. Especially, you know, if they start announcing, like, Fury's comeback, and then, you know, Spence and Crawford, we're all going to be like, well, that fight's bigger than this one, and it gets pushed further and further and further and down the ladder. So it kind of sucks for Jack Catterall as well because, you know, he kind of got cheated out of the victory, keeps getting delayed. It's now like maybe November. And then if Josh Taylor suddenly decides, like, you know what, I'm just going to go to 147, he's wasted nearly a year.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. He still has a WBO belt, right?
Josh Taylor does. He has the WBO. Yeah, and obviously...
That one, they're going to let him keep because of the Top Rank connection.
Yeah.
And the Frank, well, he's not Frank Warren, is he? Josh Taylor?
Yeah.
He is Frank Warren, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That one is the one that he's going to be able to keep. He's going to be like, hey, look, I'll put the WBO 140 title on the line against you. So you still have a belt to fight for.
Yeah, because I think Jack was the mandatory. So they can't really push a mandatory on him because he already is.
Right.
I think Josh is either, is he Frank Warren and Top Rank or is he just Top Rank?
I don't remember. He might be just Top Rank.
I think he might be just Top Rank, yeah.
Yeah. But also, the Monster, in a way, returns as he has scheduled, as he has reportedly agreed to terms with Paul Butler for an undisputed bantamweight world championship fight on December 13th in Japan, according to ESPN. I mean, obviously, we know how big of a threat, how much of a great fighter the Monster is. He's, you know, undisputed fight. What more can you ask for? Regardless if people don't pay attention to these lower weight classes or they say, oh, I don't know who Paul Butler is. It's an undisputed fight. He's becoming undisputed. You know, he's doing what he can at his weight class. Like, okay, well, I'm this close. I'm going to go for it. It doesn't matter who has the belt. I'm going to fight that person and try to become undisputed. Right? What do you think?
Yeah, and it seems like we're getting, you know, more and more of them. You know, they were so rare.
I know, and we're getting spoiled.
You know, if we get a winner in this one, it's going to be the first undisputed champion at 118 pounds in nearly 50 years. So that just goes to show, you know, like how hard it is to, you know, unify and become undisputed at, you know, all these weights. It's only been the last couple of years where we've managed to get it, you know, from Canelo, from Josh Taylor, from, you know, Teofimo Lopez and you know, other guys, depending on who you believe, whether it is Teofimo or Devin Haney. But yeah, all power to them. You know, it's good that, you know, a lot of these guys are now, you know, putting it all on the line and becoming, you know, undisputed and throw the Ring magazine in there as well. You know, these guys are holding like five belts and that's what they all dream about as a child, right?
Speaking of the Ring magazine, you know, we should touch on really quick about the Devin Haney Ring magazine situation. Devin Haney recently tweeted, I guess, his displeasure with the Ring magazine belt. I guess they just released, updated their rankings and he wasn't included in a favorable spot that he wanted to, and he started talking, you know, he posted about it saying he doesn't want the belt pretty much, or he, or this, this, and that. And the editor-in-chief of the Ring magazine, Dougie Fisher, who's been on the show before multiple times, responded to him and saying, oh, you know, well, then mail it back. You know, if you don't want the belt, you know, then just give it back to us. And Devin Haney kind of responded, okay, what's the address and this, this, and that. You know, that just goes to show you. Fighters pay attention. They pay attention. You know, it. I was watching the video of Terrence Crawford and Errol Spence when they might have been in Oklahoma or whatever fight they were. It might have been a top ranked card, and Spence was there. Remember that video where they meet in the back, yeah. And they're both talking about fighting, and they kind of go back and forth. Their teams go back and forth, and then Spence mentioned something about in the boxing news or something, and then Spence is like, "Oh, I read everything." He's like, "Oh, I read everything. I see everything." And Crawford's like, "Oh yeah, I see everything too. I read everything. I think fighters, I mean, obviously, you know, they have their finger on the pulse, but I think it's a lot more common than people think, right?
No, I bet it is. I bet some of them are curious and they kind of like, they'll search their own name and see what's been said and stuff like that. But you just don't let it affect you. You know, when you're a world champion, when you're in the limelight like that, you know, whether the Ring magazine have you in their top 10 pound for pound or whatever it was, prove them wrong. Don't be childish about it. You know, they were both childish. You know, he shouldn't have made that comment, and Dougie probably shouldn't have turned around and said, like, you know, send it back and stuff like that. It was kind of both childish and both of them, but use that to drive you. Don't, you know, let that negative thing get you and start, you know, replying to them. Just be like, okay, like, I'm not in the pound for pound 10. I'll show you, you know, I will be. I won't just be in it. I'll be top of it.
I mean, yeah, you still got to, I mean, Devin Haney, regardless, I get it. He wants to be recognized, but you still got to give him the ultimate credit. You know, he took the long way, if you want to look at it that way. He took the long way there. He was getting paid handsomely, you know, for the last several fights without fighting, like, the biggest names. But he went to Australia a couple months back. He became undisputed, and now he's going back, and he's still the favorite. You know, you give him credit. You know, give him credit. Regardless, you know, he should be proud of his pathway and his record and his fighting ability so far. And he's only, what, 24?
Yeah, he's 23, super young,
24? So he hasn't even hit his prime yet. And he's undisputed at 135 pounds already. Undisputed. So, you know, regardless, like, I get it. He wants to be recognized. You know, if he's pound for pound on significant ranking systems, it could help their negotiation power and the financial side. I understand that. But he's still making very, very handsome. He's very handsomely paid, and he's undisputed champion, you know, and he's probably going to win again against George Kambosos in Australia. So we will see. But one last question. Spence Crawford, we just touched on it. We're coming up in September, and about this week, it's becoming September. If it's going to be made for November, which was reported the last couple months, it has to happen in the next 2 weeks. An announcement?
Yeah. If it's going to be November, it would have to happen soon because, yeah, they want some type of promotion, right? You know, you want to get it, maybe do like a press conference or maybe two press conferences if they think it's like a big enough deal for that sort of stuff. You want the promotion, you want to start, you know, some type of feud so people decide to pay for it. But I think just in general, you know, it's not, I don't think it's as big a fight as some people think. Crawford is, you know, doesn't attract numbers because he's
in terms of like, in terms of competitiveness, it is to like us, it's a great fight. But in terms of marketability to cross that threshold to the common, to the, you know, not so common boxing fan, is it, you know?
No, like in terms of like ability, it's one of the best fights out there.
But oh yeah, it's
quite easily. But pay-per-views numbers are done by the casual fan. You know, that's why Conor McGregor and stuff like that, like he attracts, you know, when he's fighting like someone like random, like Donald Cerrone, the fight was over in like, what, 20, 30 seconds, but McGregor sells because of the name that he is and how funny he is and how controversial he is. And Crawford doesn't do interviews. He doesn't do any type of promotion. Errol Spence does a few, but even then, like he's not someone that you're, he's not like funny. He's not like a villain. He's not really like a hero. He's just kind of like Errol Spence. You know, you don't tune in because, you know, he's going to say something like really.
Yeah, they're pretty much private guys. You know, they're just like, hey, I'm a fighter. I'm going to go in and fight these guys. I mean, that's what they've been doing. You know, both of them, and especially Spence fighting all these guys and really earning it the hard way. You know, to Spence, you also got to give it to him. He hasn't really taken any tune-up fights. You know, he fights even after his car crash. He comes in and he fights, you know, these back-to-back top five rated guys, you know?
If they do it in November, I think it does terrible.
Maybe.
Because you've got other pay-per-views around it. You've got the football season, the baseball season.
Yeah,
you've football got season's
coming up.
The both of them don't really like they're not huge PR guys. They're not a PR machine. Which
we're talking about American football season too. In the United States, that's huge.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I said football season, right?
Yeah, yeah. But I'm just talking about for our listeners across the pond over there.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I meant like American football, like the NFL, which obviously like covers the weekend. So, I think it does a couple of hundred thousand. It's not doing half 500,000 sales. It's not doing 700,000. It's not like a heavyweight title fight.
I mean, unless think about it, unless Fox pay-per-view wants the Spence Crawford fight, as long as they can make it financially viable, they're going to try to build it with, they're going to try to put it right after a football game, you know, or something like that. They're going to try to tie it in. I'm assuming, right?
Yeah, I think they would, and they'd probably advertise it on the football, but just the fact that if it's like it's going to be $75, probably going to have a UFC card that weekend because you always there's a UFC card every single week. So, you know, and it always tends to be like the big ones always tend to go up against some type of amazing UFC event because I'm sure that's done on purpose. Dana White sees when, you know, a big boxing event goes out and he's like, okay, like I'm going to put that up against a really, really strong card. And they, you know, tend to probably win, I would imagine. You know, there's such a force and so many people watch it. So yeah, it's hard. And then kind of like we touched on earlier with Bob Arum, it's just, I'm sure they probably both want like 4, 5, 6 million each. So then how many pay-per-views does that have to sell? So like, is it financially viable for the PBC to even do it?
Right. Yeah. A lot of questions in this crazy world. But that's what we're here to give you the stuff and analyze, I guess, and just talk about this stuff. But once again, thank you guys for listening to episode 191 of the Last Round Podcast. Don't forget to go to manscaped.com. We are powered by manscaped.com and use the code TLRBoxing for 20% off. Please, if you're in need of some grooming products, you know, they got everything. Like aftershave, shavers for your family jewels downstairs and all that stuff. We've been using them and I'm a fan. And like I think I mentioned the last week, I know other people, family and friends who have had them already for a long time. And they said, hey, I keep getting stuff. So that obviously was some positive feedback that I got there. And so far, so good. I'm liking the stuff. So also, you know, please use that code. If you guys can buy some stuff from manscaped.com, it does help us in support of this show and help us get more content, helps this show keep going forward and helps us travel to these events, get on location interviews, more content, you know, helps us expand. Once again, TLR Boxing for 20% off at manscaped.com. And before we sign off completely, Mike, go ahead and let them know where they can find us and follow us.
We are at The Last Round 12 on Instagram and Twitter. And be sure to join us next week. We'll be reviewing the Luis Ortiz, Andy Ruiz fight and then looking forward to potentially maybe the biggest fight in women's boxing, Clarissa Shields against Savannah Marshall. And then we'll probably try and pull someone on there to go against me, see who's going to stand the ground against me supporting the Brit.
They're coming. We'll find somebody. They're coming. So for once again, for my co-host, Michael Shepherd, I'm Danny Z. This is The Last Round.
Thanks for supporting and listening to the show. Follow us at The Last Round 12 on social media. Rate, review, and subscribe. This is The Last Round Podcast.